So there's been a lot of focus on bathrooms when it comes to transgender rights. Why is that?
A part of it is the hullabaloo in North Carolina, where the city of Charlotte passed a really progressive anti-discrimination law that covered transgender people. And the state passed a law in turn that made it illegal for the transgender community to use the bathroom that they identified with. And the issue has erupted in schools where transgender students have fought to use the bathroom that matched their gender identity.
You talked with Mara Kiesling, the executive director of the Center for Transgender Equality, and she told you the movement for transgender rights has been gaining steam. But she said that some are focusing on bathrooms as a way to try to make people feel uncomfortable with that progress.
I was arrested protesting the bad bathroom law in North Carolina, and Congressman John Lewis, I was at a meeting with him, and he thanked me for my work against the bad bathroom law there. And I found out that 3 days later was the 50th anniversary of him being arrested for using a whites-only bathroom. This bathroom scare tactic has been used by lots of demagogues for a lot of years, trying to scare good people by saying something bad is going to happen to women and children. It's never true, and it only works for a little while.
A case here in Illinois has garnered national attention. Suburban District 211 in Palatine first denied a transgender student who identifies as female access to the girls' locker room, but then they changed their policy. What happened there?
After the Department of Education ordered that the school lose its federal funding for violating the rights of the transgender student, the district came to compromise by allowing the student to use the locker room with a privacy curtain.
But now a group of parents is suing because they say it's not fair to the other girls in the locker room. What argument are they making?
They say it's all about their privacy, that they shouldn't have to change in the locker room in front of a student that they remember as clearly to them being male.
Here's their lawyer, Jeremy Tedesco, an attorney with the Scottsdale, Arizona-based Alliance Defending Freedom, describing what he sees as that right to privacy.
Case law has said that people, especially students, have that right, and that the government can't create a scenario where there's a risk that students will have their partially or fully unclothed body viewed by the opposite sex. And of course, that's exactly the scenario that the school district has allowed to happen at school by implementing a policy that places a biologically male student in the locker room where girls are changing every day for gym.
The ACLU represents the transgender student in this case, and you spoke with Ed Yonka from the ACLU of Illinois. What did he tell you?
One of the things that Ed Yonka said is that it was very frustrating in the suit that it repeatedly called his client a boy. In Yanka's view, she is a girl and therefore she deserves all the protections under Title IX, which requires schools to equally treat girls and boys. He says Title IX covers gender identity.
And the federal government under the Obama administration is viewing it that way as well. They're saying that these Title IX protections, which, as you mentioned, protect students from discrimination based on gender, also include gender identity. But there is some debate over that and some dispute going on nationally, right?
Yes. Actually, there are 21 states that are suing over that Obama administration interpretation that Title IX involves gender identity as well.
You also spoke with Alex McCray, who had a personal experience with the issue over using restrooms and changing rooms when he came out in high school, and it was a bit of a process to get that sorted out. What did he tell you about what that was like?
At first, when he came out, the district wouldn't let him use the boys' locker room, which was not such a problem when he was uncomfortable with himself, but as he became more confident, he found that he wanted to be able to use the boys' locker room, and got the policy change with the help of the ACLU.
And here's what Alex had to say about that experience.
At the time, actually, I wasn't bothered by it too much. I was already very uncomfortable with my own situation, so it made things easier for me. I say at the time because it progressively became an issue. As I had transitioned further, become more confident with myself, that's when I started getting uncomfortable with having to be separated from everybody else.
You interviewed Christina Carl, a Chicago transgender activist and ESPN baseball analyst. As someone who appears on television, Carl transitioned in the public eye. What did she say her hopes are for transgender equality in the future?
She says she's really excited to see the phenomenon of transgender children coming out. And she sees that as being a sign of great hope for the future.
Most of us were used to the idea of transitioning as an adult, but now to be in a what I consider a happier place where families are supportive of their kids and pediatricians, school administrators, all of them get it. I don't want to hold a parade 365 days over a year over that. I'm trans. I'm also a sports writer. That's what I do every day. Who I am is who I am every day. So I just want to get to the point of, yeah, I'm trans. So what?